the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Many years ago, I sent out a letter to the church. Some of you probably got this letter. And in the letter, I said, when God wants to do something big, he often starts with something really small. That would be me. When hope is gone, when the odds look impossible, when the problems are huge and the resources are spent, God looks to build a monument of grace. God selects ordinary, insignificant, and insecure people to fill some of the most significant roles in the kingdom of God. I still believe that. And when you think about it, Moses was one of those people, 40 years in educational preparation, and then someone made the statement that then he had 40 years to unlearn what he learned out in the desert, and he was basically hanging out probably with a few sheep and maybe a lot of goats out there, but he learned the very humble life. Gideon, you can remember, Gideon was one that considered himself the least, his tribe the least, his family the least, and he considered himself totally unqualified to ever be used of God, and yet God said, "You mighty warrior," and called Gideon. King Solomon, you remember when he was brought into leadership, his prayer to God was, he said, "I'm only a child. I'm far too young to be able to know what to do. I need wisdom. I need guidance to be able to understand the job that you've given me to lead this great nation of your people." Isaiah, we've looked at him recently during our season of prayer. Isaiah was one that God was calling who recognized that he was a very needy person of God's cleansing and forgiveness in his life. And yet God cleansed him. And I don't believe it was a 6-month period of time. I believe God had a plan for him at that time as he was preparing him and calling him and cleansed his mouth, as you recall. Peter, you know, who would have hired Peter if, you know, job application, "I do have a problem with my mouth. I'm occasionally caught cussing and swearing. And on occasion, I've been charged with actually denying the Lord. Who would hire such a preacher?" And yet that was Peter in his weak moments. But in his strong moments, he was standing up for God, and others stood up when he stood up. And then there's the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul called himself the chief of sinners because he actually had it all turned around backwards. And when he thought he was serving God in the early days, he was actually fighting against God. But then we see God had a plan for him as well. Well, yeah, I was 15 when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I'll never forget that night. I haven't been down to the campus in a while. When I go into the old auditorium, I can remember the very spot. As a 15-year-old boy on a night where there was a lot of celebration, a lot of praise, no preaching and no altar call, but there was a God call that came to me, as I said, in the back of the church. Not interested in God, not interested in anything more than the lady sitting next to me. But God spoke to me that night and called me to step out of my rebellion and surrender my life to Him. And my wife and I, we were talking about how many years that we've been married, you know, that 46, 47 years. I think back when I first saw her and how she came in to the campus there and how God brought us together, and I'm just as convinced of that this morning as well. Well, today I stand here. We're going to be looking at, I think, some exciting things today. I want to commend all of you ladies as well as men, those of you who have prayed, those of you who have prepared food, those of you who are working. If you've been on any of our work days, you have to have seen what I've seen. There is a chemistry being built between us as men, and there is a working relationship that is awesome. And the work that is being done when we are at the property is literally saving us tens of thousands of dollars. We are accomplishing a lot. And I believe God is getting us ready for the building, and it will come by the grace of God. And so I know that some wonder, you know, when. I was looking at some dates, and this was kind of shocking to me when I looked at when we started applying for permits. Some of the next steps with permits took us 2 years in the county just to get to the next level with them. And so we had years and years. We bought this land in 2001. And so we've had the property a long time, and God has blessed us with this land. Just in recent weeks, I've had two pastors contact me. I have an offer from a business on my desk at home wanting to market our property to personal investors. The first pastor that came to me wanted to buy maybe half of our property, and they ended up purchasing property for a few million dollars. There just would not have been parking for us to have fulfilled what God has called us to do and still be on the same property, because their vision is to have a 50,000 square foot building, and that was going to require a lot of parking, so it wouldn't work. I did sense that God put in my heart to listen to anyone that came to me and pray over everything. We are to do that, aren't we? And so then most recently, actually the pastor that's right up the street here, another wonderful friend, they sit on about 3 acres of land. They're having three services, maybe going to four, maybe they're having four services today, and they're desperately looking for property. Met with him, looked at their vision, and considered prayerfully what their interest was, and it also could not work along with what God called us to do. Then immediately following that pastor talking with me, another pastor in town contacted me. They have a big 3.5 acre parcel of land. 3.5 acres. They're having three services right now, but they have facilities. Their parking lots are jammed. Their buildings are full. And so all three of these churches, I didn't reach out to any of them. They all reached out to me. All of them were interested in purchasing our property. And so if some of you live in St. Lucie, some of you live in Martin County, maybe even some in Indian River County, or maybe Okeechobee County, Palm Beach, that are watching, part of our fellowship. But if you've watched what's going on in our region, and Jerome, you spoke to this, prices are just out of control. So I remember when in Port St. Lucie, you could buy buildable lots all day for $500 a lot if you went west of 95. Toddie, you're shaking your head. You remember those days. Martin County, you could buy lots anywhere from 7 to 12,000 buildable home sites here in Martin County. Today, you would be looking at many times that, maybe 30, 40, 50, 60,000 for buildable home sites. It's quite high. So we live in an area where prices have gone up, values have gone up. You're going to see that when we look at the land today. But we have had nonstop contacts from builders, developers. And if you're familiar with where our property is across the street, just in the last year and a half or so, we have 117 new townhomes that's been built across the street. Next door to our property to the north is the largest elementary school in Martin County. They have in excess of 1,200 students that are in that school. That means a lot of the parents that drive through this neighborhood are driving right past our property, and a preschool and children's ministries is going to be extremely needed at that location that God has given us. And so we've had many people come. I've had people talk to me about prices, and we're going to see this today. Very possibly the value of our land has gone from, you'll see what we paid, up to maybe $7 to $8 million at this point as far as the value of the property. Some have said to me, Pastor, why don't we sell part of it, take all that money, and we could build debt-free, and we can have resources left over, and then maybe we could go and do some other ministries at some other location. And I have prayed about that. I have considered that seriously. And as a board and as elders, we look at this. We as a congregation must look at this today and think about this. But I'll tell you what's in my heart. God wants Abundant Life Ministries to develop that entire piece of land for His glory. That is what God put in my heart to do, and that is what I'm confident God has called us to do. Now, I do know that God gives us opportunity to make choices, and I'm conscious of that. And those choices, obviously, over the years, we've had many different boards, and we've had different leaders that had different thoughts about different things. But as we prepare for this meeting today, I wanted to just share a little bit of our history and let you know a little bit of who we are and where we've come from. Now, I repeatedly have people ask me, Jonathan, are you sorry you sold on Central Parkway? I have to tell you, it is a lot of work that our team does to set up every week. And it's a lot of money that's just kind of been thrown away in rentals. And I understand that. And I know that this isn't anywhere near as glamorous or impressive as the most of the facilities that we've been in as a church. But I want to encourage you today that God's not finished with us yet. And one thing God has given me is the ability to trust Him when it doesn't look at all possible. And so I want you to know that I am not interested in retiring, in quitting, in selling, in moving on or moving out. I look forward to working with Ruddy and seeing Ruddy and Jasmine raised up into a more significant role of ministry. I look forward to seeing Jose and Cheryl as God blesses them and strengthens them to be raised up in ministry along with us. I look forward to Joe and Alexa Grisjean, to the call of God that's on their life. They serve with us on the board, though today they're pastoring in Colorado. Hopefully they'll be able to join us by phone in a few moments. I look forward to Ben and Mary Ellen being raised up into the callings and the gifts that's in their life. And of course, some of you know that I wear more than one hat. None of them fit perfectly, I'll tell you, because I'm given many more opportunities than I'm qualified to carry. But God has blessed me tremendously. And God has given us a voice that is much larger than any of us could ever imagine. Only heaven's going to know the size of the outreach and contact that we've been able to have. Not just with congregates, but with dozens, perhaps hundreds of pastors and leaders as well over the years and even currently at this time. And so as I was thinking about all of these things and the meeting today and some of the things I'll be sharing in that meeting, I was just sort of pulled to remember many things that's happened over the years, and I don't have time to share those, but I want to share one thing before we get to the scripture. We're going to look at two scriptures. We're going to go into Hebrews chapter 11, and then we're going to also go into Exodus chapter 11. And before we go to those passages, we are going to start in Hebrews, so I'm going to find that so I don't get too rattled here and lose my way, because we do have limited time. Hebrews chapter 11. I remember many years ago, I was at Victory Assembly of God. I was an associate pastor at that time. And one of the jobs that I had in the church, my lovely bride Rachel also worked there in the front office, and that was great. But one of the jobs I had was to bring some budgets together so we could balance the books in the church. We were, at that time, not in really a strong fiscal position. And I was the associate pastor, and so the offerings, what came in, and such forth would end up, I would get paperwork that would attest to that. And there was one Sunday when the ushers said, you know, we were counting today and we found something unusual in the offering bags today. And so what it turned out to be, there were two wedding bands that were in the offering bags. And so I didn't know who they came from. They didn't know who they came from. No one said anything about where they came from. They were gold. And I remember just thinking, we need to pray about this and see what God has to say. And so we prayed about it, and I really sensed that God was saying that we were to put those two wedding bands in the safe and hold on to them. Now, about a year later, a couple scheduled an appointment. Well, they had been a couple. They had been separated for a long period of time. They contacted the office and said, we would like to come in, and we would like to talk about renewing our vows because God is restoring our marriage. And so as we were looking at that, I was thrilled to hear that God had really brought healing between both of them. And they were totally thrilled to be coming back and ready to commit their lives again to the Lord and to each other in marriage. And so when I asked them about the ceremony, as I normally do, will you be exchanging rings? And I didn't know a lot of the history. In those days, so many people were coming into the church. We had new families all the time. That was back during a great revival season. And so when I asked them if they would have rings, they said, well, both of us individually were absolutely certain that this marriage could never work. But we were still in church on a Sunday morning, and independently, neither one knowing what the other did, both of us took off our wedding bands and dropped it in the offering bag. And we decided we were going to give our marriage to God. And if it was possible for a miracle, for a restoration, that God would bring it to pass. As they sat in my office, I said, could you all just wait a moment? There's something that I need to go get. They told me they didn't have money to buy rings. I went to the safe, brought the little envelope out that had the two rings in it. And I opened it up and said, do you all know who these rings belong to? And they both, with tears in their eyes, said, those are our rings that we put into the offering and we gave our marriage to God, and God saved our marriage. So I want you to know that, I mean, those days we were raising funds to build, and I was just a part of the team there, and I was blessed to be a part of the team. So when I was thinking about that, and God was just reminding me that there's many different things that goes on in our lives and our families where God is the only answer. And sometimes it's God that's working in a way that we cannot even understand. In Hebrews, it looks like I have, 8 minutes? Hebrews chapter 11, I want to drop down. I'll get into the right chapter and I'll find it. Verse 8, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance by faith. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner, and this is the part I want you to get, he was like a foreigner living in a tent. Living in a tent. This is the father of faith. And so did Isaac. So did Isaac and Jacob. What? They lived by faith and they lived as nomads. They lived in portable structures, in tents. Abraham did this because he was confidently looking forward. Let me tell you, Satan wants all of us to live with a rear view mirror perspective on life. And he wants us to look back at Egypt. And Israel lost a whole generation because they fell to it. And they look back, and Satan will never remind you of the chains and the beatings and the difficulty. He will always remind you of the garlic and the onions and maybe the fish and maybe the birds, whatever. But Abraham did this because he was confidently, that means with certainty, looking forward to a city with eternal foundations. In other words, he was not just living for things here on this earth. He knew that whatever happened here, however big, however small, however much land, whatever happened, that this is not what we're living for or living forward to receive, but a city designated and built, designed and built by God. Well, there's more in that passage we could look at, but let's go right over to Exodus, since I can see already that I'm going to be totally out of time. In Exodus, I know I said 11, but I don't think that's where I want to be. But no, let's go to 35. Let's go to 35. We have short time. Let's go to 35. So the other morning, you'll see some of these scriptures in the bulletin today. The other morning, when I was in my quiet time, my prayer time with God, God just dropped on my heart to put a scripture into the bulletin today. And I wasn't sure exactly the chapter. I knew the general area where it was. But I thought, well, instead of looking up that passage, I'm going to see if I can just find it. I opened the Bible up. It turned right to this page. And I said, okay, God, I know you want me to put that in the bulletin. So I put it in the bulletin, and I put this passage or portion of it in the bulletin. But this is what I read that morning again. And it was in verse 4, chapter 35, verse 4. Then Moses said to all the people, this is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is invited. Say invited. Now your translation may say something else, but it's going to mean the same thing. God did not strong arm any of them. He simply invited them to bring these offerings to the Lord. And look at what God invited them to bring. Now what I want you to remember is, not only did Abraham live in a tent, but the house of worship was a tent. The tabernacle was a tent. All of these supplies that are coming in are to build a very temporary facility to worship in. And it just looks totally crazy that you would put all of this kind of stuff into a tent structure. But you see, something that I was reading back, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago. Let's see if I can find it here. Oh, it was on day 50 of the year, just if you want to know. And this was in Jonathan Cahn's book, Mysteries. And so I was looking at this, and the topic was the tent world. And it got my attention because I had read this, and then God brought me over here to look at the tent, and these people are going to make all these offerings for a tent. And I remembered, well, I read about Jonathan Cahn talking about the tent world. I'm going to go back and look at that again. And so in that day's reading, he said, everything in this world is temporary. I said, yeah, that's true. And then he said, it's not the place This is not the place where we're going to stay. It's the place where we're on a journey. They said, yeah, that's very true. And he said, we just passed through here. This is not our home. It's the tent world. The tent world. Incidentally, one of the things that'll be in our financial report is that we repaired our tent. We have a beautiful tent that's big, and it'll seat several hundred people, and it has all new poles and all new stakes and all new ratchet ties. It's not like the old one we had, Eric. It is the old tent, but it's totally redone. And when they were rebuilding it, the gentleman that was overseeing the whole project, he said, this is the best tent that's made. Now, that was his opinion. He said, we deal with a lot of tents. He said, these do not go bad. And look at yours. It's totally flexible. After all these years, it hasn't become brittle. It is totally usable. And so our tent is in our container down on the property, incidentally. So Jonathan Cahn said, this is a tent world. And all of us are campers. And indeed we are. We are just kind of passing through. And he goes on to talk about that many seasons in our life, we will move from a tent to a different tent to a different tent. We may be in different tents, but actually everything that we have here is very temporary. And I thought, yeah, amen, that's the case. So Moses was given the admonition to just say, everyone's invited to bring these offerings to the Lord. Gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat hair for cloth. Now, a lot of this stuff I just don't relate to at all. I mean, I don't know anything about goat's hair and all this stuff. I mean, I wouldn't have any clue what to do with all that. And fine goatskin leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the lamp, spices for the anointing oil, the fragrant incense, onyx stones, other stones to be set in the ephod and the chest plate. And then, verse 10, there's an invitation not just to give, but come all of you who are gifted craftsmen. Well, as I was reading this, I just recognized the Holy Spirit said, I've given you a ton of gifted craftsmen. You are seeing them work. It was amazing what happened yesterday. If you could have seen what this sheet piling looked like when we first dropped it in the ground, it looked to me like that we might have to pull it and start over again. It was kind of a mess. And I was thinking, well, we should have the whole church down here to look at this stuff and see what the brothers have been doing down here. And then someone said, but you should have brought them down while it was a mess and let them see it then. But it is amazing that God has gifted us and God is preparing us for this time. And God also, I believe, has touched people's hearts. And so the invitation is, come all of you who are gifted. So then down in verse 20, so all the people left Moses, went to their tents to prepare their gifts if their hearts were stirred and they desired to do so. So there's no pushing, there's no pressure, there's no manipulation. I'm going to talk to you just briefly about a loan application that we have out. There was a whole portion on that application that asked the question, are you going to have an organized fundraiser in the church? And then there was the next question, that was a yes or no. Then there was another question that said, are you going to hire someone to come and manage your fundraiser? And so I'm not sure that all of you would know the answer to those questions, but how many of you think the answer is no? The answer is no. You know why the answer is no? The answer is no because I believe God's going to be our provider and God is going to bless us and God is going to do miracles. He always does. He always does. God doesn't lead you where He doesn't plan to provide for you. And so God is going to take care of us. I just know God's going to take care of us. I remember years ago, some of you will remember the days when we couldn't pack the people into our services and we were having three services. And people were being saved in the parking lot. And we ended up in a tent. And then we ended up in a steel building. And then we ended up with some family challenges with some of our pastor's children. And it was serious. And several hundred people left the church. I remember in those days being counseled by a local pastor who said, Jonathan, fire them and hire them. And hire from out of town. Keep the big mo going. The church was still pretty full. There was a little bit of temptation there. Fire them and hire them. That's what we do. If they mess up, we get rid of them. We hire from out of town. So when they mess up, we get rid of them. Let me tell you, God does not have any expendable souls. Jesus died for all of them. And what God told me to do was to love those who were in trouble, love the ones who got into sin, love those families that were falling apart, that were under attack. The pastor said, well, how are you going to pay your bills and how are you going to survive if you lose your whole congregation? I said, they're not my congregation, they're His. God did not call me to maintain a big mo. God called me to be obedient and preach the Word of God and to stand up for Him and to be a blessing to every pastor, every leader, and every person in this region that I could be. And so when I saw those two boxes to check off there, I didn't think about that. I just said, nope, because even though I know that when you hire an organization that traditionally 2 to 3 times more money is raised, they'll tell you right up front. They want to know how many giving units you have. They want you to visit in every home. They want you to build committees. They want you to do a lot of things. We're not going to do any of that. We're going to trust God. We're going to trust God. And I'm just going to tell you that again today. I'm still committed to trusting God. I believe God wants us to be a debt-free church, and I believe that God knows how to pay for what He ordered. And since God so chose to give us a piece of land that when we bought it, you'll see in the notes today, a little over $300,000 what we paid for it, that's now turned into an $8 million property that the county wants to buy and that our neighbors want to buy and that we have people nonstop wanting to buy it, we could never have afforded that land today. Oh, well, God could have provided, but God led us back in 2001. We followed Him. And so when I was looking at this passage, and I must bring this to a close, the invitation was, not only as God stirs your heart and you have a desire to give, also come with your time and your talents and lend them to the work. And this was just an invitation. And I'm this morning wanting to say thank you, because you all are already doing that. And when that $10,000 came in the other day, I knew that God was saying, Jonathan, this did not come in an offering in the church. It did not come because of a program. It came simply because I spoke to them. And the individual told me this. The Holy Spirit told me to do this. I'm simply doing what God directed me to do. So all the people left. Moses went to their tents, prepared their gifts. If their hearts were stirred and they desired to do so, they brought to the Lord their offerings of materials for the tabernacles and its furnishings and for the holy garments. And look at verse 22. Both men and women came. So this was something personal, and it was kind of private, and it was a family thing, but individually, God touched people's hearts and directed them what to give. Verse 26, all the women who were willing used their skills to spin. And in verse, 29, so the people of Israel, every man and woman who wanted to help in the work, this is all free will as God provides and as God gives us strength to do it. The Lord had given them to help in the work. The Lord had given them through Moses. They brought offerings to the Lord. So that morning, as I'm thinking about that and just saying, okay, Father, what are you saying? I sense the Lord said to me, Jonathan, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. I want you to move ahead with what I called you to do. Don't look left, right. Don't back up. Don't back down. Stay on track with what I've given you to do and trust me. And in my heart, I said, now, Lord, I would like to be able to give a little more myself. And the Lord reminded me of something that's in a safety deposit box. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's none of your business. But God reminded me of something that's in a safety deposit box. And God said, are you ever going to wear that again? I said, no. And He said, most people have a lot of things that they will never use because we're tent dwellers. And if we simply ask for wisdom, God knows how to provide for us, through us, what's needed to accomplish His work.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
I'm Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.